Lord, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. Raise your hand, all the fathers. Yes, happy Father's Day to you. And we want to just clap. And so I saw a thing on social media where they had this burger, and it was filled with lobster, shrimp, beef, and ribs. And that was the Mother's Day burger. And then the Father's Day burger just had a sloppy joe. And so we that's all we get is a sloppy joe. But I just want to clap your hands. Want you to clap your hands for all the fathers that's in this room and across this world. Father's Day is important. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a father, right? And so I won't be long today, so you can get to where you're going to have a cookout. I'm hosting Father's Day at my house, and we're going to eat today. But most importantly, man, I get to look at my pops and say, hey, thank you for me. I thank God for me, but I'm going to get to say thank you, Daddy, for me. All right, is that all right? And so happy Father's Day one more time. And today's message, today's teaching is two words, basically, wake up. Everybody say wake up. And that's, you have your handouts. I'm going to pray, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day that you created, that you've made. Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the breeze. Thank you for everything that we feel when we walk outside that points towards you being the creator and being the sustainer and taking care of us. We know that if you can take care of the birds and the sparrow, that you definitely can take care of your creatures, us as humans. So we thank you, Lord, for looking out for us. You're so good to us. We appreciate you and we love you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. I was about to get this water. I don't know if it's mine. Like it's been open. COVID's still real. Okay, no, I don't think it's been open. So everybody say, wake up. This is from a movie. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Y'all sing it with me. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna, what movie is that from? Sister Act. You got, young man, you gotta go find that movie on YouTube. It's called Sister Act. You better wake up and pay attention. Everybody say, pay attention. Everybody say, wake up. That's what we're talking about today. I have about a 5-minute Father's Day message, and then I have a part two of the Father's Day message. I know that don't make sense, but 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, basically, wake up and pay attention. You better wake up and pay attention. Especially on the way here in that rain, I had to make sure I paid attention. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Everybody shout, act like men. I know you beautiful females in here. This is for you too. Everybody say, act like men. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, and act like men. One translation says, basically, it doesn't say act like men. It says be courageous, be strong. And it's something special when you see a man that's firm in his faith, that's strong in the faith. All right, that's basically what 1 Corinthians 16:13 says. Be strong in the faith, even if you're a female. You want to be courageous. That's really what act like men mean. Be courageous. Be strong in the faith. Amen. Matthew 13:25 says, but, everybody say but. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds or tares among the wheat and went his way. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed weeds. Everybody say weeds. The enemy, so when men are sleeping, on the job, you know you get fired for sleeping on the job, all right? When men sleep on the job, weeds are likely to happen. In other words, when men take their rightful, righteous place, everybody say rightful, righteous place, weeds are less likely to have a field day in the earth, in families, in the next generation. We must wake up and pay attention. We must wake up to prevent the spread of weeds. On your paper, you can fill in weeds. What do I mean by weeds? While men slept, the enemy came and sowed weeds, sowed tares. Weeds, evil, you can write down evil, disorder, chaos, if you want to write it down, lies, doubt. This is all happening while we are asleep, men, fathers. The enemy can come in and sow weeds and sow tares. Undisciplined situation and a fatherless generation. While men slept, the enemy came in and sowed weeds. Look at somebody and say, who slept on you? Or more like this, I'm assuming, I don't want to assume, just ask the question, did somebody sleep on you? Did somebody sleep on you? Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of a righteous. If you want to turn there, I see you. Many of us have our Bibles, our paper Bibles. We're paper Bible saved. Proverbs 23:24, the father of a righteous child has great joy. That man is happy because his child is righteous. His kid is righteous. So that man is happy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. You have a happy father because of a righteous son or a wise son. But who contributed to that son being righteous? The father. Sir, I almost threw you $10 like we was in school or something. You just said that like pick me, teacher. But yeah, the father is happy because he contributed to the well-being, spiritual well-being of his son. And so he is happy. He is rejoicing because his son is wise. Now, how in the world are you going to be wise at 7? There's two ways to be wise. God endowed you to be wise. He blessed you to be wise. He gave you the gift of wisdom like Solomon. Solomon actually didn't ask for an iPhone when he was young. He didn't ask for a BB gun. He didn't ask for a basketball. He asked for what? He asked for wisdom. And so God gave him wisdom at a young age. And because he asked for wisdom, he got money. He got a lot of money. He had wealth. He had building projects. He had territories. And so that's one way you can be wise as a young person. Number two way is you hang around somebody that's wise. You are taught by somebody that's wise. Basically, you are taught by somebody that's been here longer than you. Amen. I'll be 40 this year, and so I make sure I hang around and I do lunch or breakfast. Seem like the older generation want to do breakfast. Amen. You want to do lunch? No, man, I've been up since 5 a.m. Let's do breakfast. I'm like, man, I'm still asleep. But you can get wisdom by hanging around somebody that's wise or being taught by somebody that's wise. And so hope those two passages encourage us fathers this morning to wake up, to not be asleep on the job, to be alert. Amen? Because while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed weeds. Fellas, we cannot sleep on a job. So this next passage will actually set us up for the second half of this Father's Day teaching. And it will set us up for the second half teaching. We often say God has some explaining to do. We are in the issues or issue with God teaching or series. We say, God, you got some explaining to do, sir. Why? Because we know he created us. Who else are we going to talk to? We say, God, you put us in this hotel called Earth. And so it's not an issue that many of us, we believe in God. Amen. If you believe in God, clap your hands. We believe in God. That's not the issue for Alpheus. For many of us, we just have a ton of questions. God, I ain't trying to pick a fight with you, but I got a whole lot of questions. There was a gospel play that says, your arms are too short to box with God. I ain't trying to pick a fight with God, but anybody else other than Alphaeus have a lot of questions? Some unanswered questions? Disagreements with the text? We open our Bibles and we say, I don't know if I agree with this or you hear a preacher and you say, I don't know if I agree with this. Unsettled issues. That's what this series is about. Issue with God. Unclear information. When things are unclear, it could be a lot of chaos in your life. Amen? Misunderstanding, if you want to write that down. Many of our unanswered questions are because we are not studying God's word and researching. Everybody say research. So we have to search in God's word, and then we have to search again. Search again. You don't come up with the right answer or what you think is satisfactory. Research again. That's what research means. Search again. So it may not happen on Monday. You may have to go back Tuesday and search again. Amen? Because we say, God, you have some explaining to do. He says, you have some researching to do. God, we say, God, you got some explaining to do. And God tells us what? You have some researching to do. Amen. So definitely Alpheus is in the season of searching again and researching, searching again, searching again. All right. God is big. He weighs more than me. And actually, many of the answers are above my pay grade, if that makes sense. It's above my pay grade. And revelation and understanding is available for the thirsty man. Anybody ever been thirsty? What do you want? You want something to drink. So you go searching for something that can quench your thirst. Revelation and understanding is for the thirsty man. Thirsty, you got to be thirsty. Psalm 42 says, many of us have heard this before. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirst pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then David says, when can I go to meet with God? So it sounds like David's trying to get to the buffet of water that's in heaven, that's in glory. Amen. Because when David wrote this, he was in a crazy place. He was in an interesting situation where he needed God, and he knew, listen, I'm not feeling you on earth because of his decisions. But he says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Amen. That's why we say God is the living water. Amen. He is not dead. God's not dead. He is still what? He's still alive. All right. So David said, when can I go and meet God? When you want to, any day you want to take me. All right. And I would never be thirsty again. All right, so hope it didn't feel like I rushed through that, because I still have a lot more to go, and I wanted to really go through that. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. Don't go to sleep on me. Amen. It's raining outside. It feels good. That's sleeping weather. But I want to lift, and I want to expose this tension, this Father's Day tension. Question. There's a Father's Day question and tension that I want to lift. Because remember, I said, Alpheus, I have some questions. And this is one of the questions that I have. God, why are you punishing my kids? Why are you punishing my kids? So many things in scriptures we don't understand. I'll be the first to admit. And I'm up here teaching you guys. And I don't understand everything in God's word. Amen. Am I by myself? But many outcomes in life and Bible are because our actions are influenced and trigger that outcome. Let me say it one more time. So many, many outcomes in life, we triggered it. We caused it. Many situations we find ourselves in, it is not God's fault, it is our fault. I know that sounds like God is not in control, but that shows free will. I am free to walk out of this church right now and go to Bojangles, but I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Do it for the vine. I ain't going to do it. I know the vine is not here anymore. But God's Proverbs 19 says, people ruin their lives with their foolish things they do. And then they blame the Lord for it. Proverbs 19:3. It said people ruin their lives with the foolish. Every time you see foolish or fool, you should think evil. That's what fool means. It means evil. So that's why it's fighting words when somebody call you a fool. You fool? Whoa, that's fighting words because you don't want to be called evil. You don't want to be called the devil. Amen? Unless you're the devil. But it's fighting words for me. Do not call me foolish because I know the consequence of being of evil. I know the consequence of having a life full of evil. So again, the question that's not answered right now is, God, why are you punishing? I'm a father. I made some decisions. They're my decisions. I messed up. I was wet behind the ears. But God, why are you punishing my kids for the decisions I made? Because that's what it says in your word. Turn to Deuteronomy 5 for me. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 says, and it's on the screen as well, God is speaking. God is talking. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt where you were slaves. Verse number 7, you must not have any other gods except me. Sounds like a command here. You must not make for yourselves any idols. Don't make something that looks like anything in the sky or on the earth below or in the water below the land. So in other words, don't worship the sun, the moon, the stars. That's pretty much what it's saying. It says, do not worship the sun, the moon, the stars. Worship the person that made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Young people, old people. I know that's hot right now. Amen. But God says, don't do it. Verse number 9, Deuteronomy 5, verse number 9. This tone here makes me want to sit down and wrap around in a sheet, in a prayer cloth, and say, I hear you, God. Because God is saying, you must not worship or serve any idol. This because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Everybody say, God is jealous. Not of me, but he's a jealous God. All right, I want to clear something up because I got to clear it up today. A person may sin against me and hate me. I will punish his children, even his grandchildren and great grandchildren. But I will be very kind and merciful to thousands who love me and obey my commands. Does anybody else other than me have issues with God punishing my kids, my grandkids, and my great-great-grandkids for my decisions? Do you see how that's problematic on the surface? I'm just being honest. Then many people have issues with God being jealous. There's a popular TV host, probably the richest black woman in the world, had issues with God being jealous. And I think it's just a misunderstanding. Remember I said issues with God is not necessarily, sometimes issues with God is, or the God issues is about believing that there's a deity, that there is a God, that God exists. Many people don't have issues with that. But some of the issues that we're going to talk about deals with things like this. And this popular TV host, Oprah, I think it's just a misunderstanding. She was in the church, and the preacher, she said, it's all over YouTube, she said, I can't wrap my head around God being jealous of me. This all-powerful and knowing God is jealous of me? You created everything. And many people feel like this. If you research, people have issues. They say this is such a petty emotion for your God to be a jealous God. But then we see in the text, God says, don't do this. Serve me only because I'm jealous. I think you probably should write on your paper. I hope you can make some space for it. There is a such thing as righteous jealousy. Write down righteous jealousy. In other words, I've been married 15 years and some change. If my wife cheat on me and I'm jealous, do you blame me for being jealous? We are in a committed relationship for 15 years, and she cheats on me and I'm jealous. Is my jealousy justified? Any married folks in here will feel the same way. Amen. Wouldn't you feel the same way? You're in the relationship. Is my jealousy justified? So if my jealousy is justified, it is a righteous jealousy. If my jealousy is righteous, then it's right. If it's right, it is righteous. God's jealousy is righteous. And first of all, my conversation with Oprah, I'm not picking a fight with Oprah, but I have to stand for something. Amen. They say, tell the truth even if your lips quiver. My lips are not quivering, maybe for some macaroni and cheese, but not to share this truth because it's just plain and simple. First of all, the jealousy in the text doesn't mean the same as the jealousy in modern English. It's not the same jealousy. Amen. So God is a jealous God, but jealousy, write this down. Jealousy simply means to be jealous, simply means to turn red or to be angry. Fierceness of devotion, to turn red, to be angry, fierceness of devotion. To turn red, to be angry, fierceness of devotion. And God has every right to be upset, just like I would be upset at my wife for cheating on me. We say, hey, man, we go together. God, we go together, and then you step out on God. He has a right to turn red, to be angry, to be disappointed, amen, and to be jealous. That's what jealous means. Fierceness of devotion. That's interesting because that's how God is devoted to us, that when we let him down, he gets jealous. Because remember the passage said in Deuteronomy 5, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, and then you want to trip on me? I take you out to Ruth Chris. I buy you some red bottoms. I take you on vacation. I buy you a diamond ring. And this is what you do to me? Of course you're going to be jealous. You're going to be angry. You're going to be upset. And you're going to be disappointed. Amen. So don't let God being jealous lure you away from the faith. Amen. Don't let these seemingly human-like characteristics that you see in the scriptures that's attached to God, that somebody described God with these human-like characteristics, like God gets angry, he gets jealous, he changes his mind. At the surface, it looks like God is acting like us. But God made us. We're acting like God. Amen. So, did y'all get that? Is it pretty clear? Amen. That's what we're here for. Bible says, in all thy getting, get a understanding. Father's actions affect future generations negatively or positively. God is upset because he knows when we make this decision to reject him, it invites evil. When we invite evil, there is going to be certain consequences. Amen. Reject God as a father, the son will likely reject God. Honor God as a father, And then the son will likely do what? Will likely honor God. So God, why are you punishing my kids for my sins? I have some clarity, and this is how we're going to end today. So God, why are you punishing? Because the text says, I will punish his children, even his grandchildren and great grandchildren. Now, how in the world are we going to clear this up? Because that's what the text says. Everybody say clarity. In D 24:16, Deuteronomy, when I don't feel like saying Deuteronomy, I'm from Fair Forest, South Carolina. That's just a lot to say. Just D 24:16. Deuteronomy 24:16 actually clears this confusion. Amen. It clears it up. Scripture clears up scripture. Amen. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their fathers. Each is to die for his own sin. Everybody say, it's cleared up. For those that need more clarity, everybody say, vicarious punishment. During the days of Israel, back in the day, I'm just going to say back in the day, the surrounding cities of Israel, pagan cities, they were used to this practice called an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So in other words, if I kill somebody unjustly, then they would take my son and kill my son. That's called vicarious punishment. If a woman sets a house on fire by accident and accidentally kills somebody in that fire, they will find somebody from her family and kill that person in exchange for something she did that was unjust. And so it was called vicarious punishment. And so this passage, Deuteronomy 24:16, brings correction to that pagan practice. It says, you ain't going to suffer for what your dad did. I am not going to hold it against you for what your dad did. And I know we talk about generational curses, but I want to somewhat give some observations about that. All right? So I want to give an example here. Jerome has three kids. Everybody say three kids. Jerome has three kids and a good job. Jerome has three kids and a good job. Everybody say three kids. That's a lot of mouths to feed. Jerome has three kids and a good job. He falls on hard times. Then he stops trusting God. God says, trust me, Jerome, I got you. I'm telling you, just trust in me. Trust me. Serve me. Jerome has three kids and a good job, but he lost his job. And he's falling on hard times. Jerome makes a decision to stop trusting in God. And guess what Jerome does? He starts selling drugs. Jerome makes the decision to sell drugs. And guess what? He gets caught. He gets 20 years. They think his wife is in. I failed to mention he is married with three kids and a good job that he just lost. And now he decided to sell drugs. He is caught. They think his wife is in on it. She has no clue that Jerome is selling drugs to make ends meet. She just thinks he picked up another job because he chose to lie to her. Who chose to lie? Jerome chose to lie. She gets 10 years. Is that fair? No, it ain't fair. But it's because of Jerome. His wife is locked up for 10 years. He's locked up for 20 years. What happens to the two boys and the girl that's under 18? They do not have parents. Now there's trauma. Everybody say trauma. The two boys and one girl will likely be punished. Everybody say punished. Unless there's a major intervention. Hope y'all seeing how this is making sense with the text. Even if a good foster home now, you know, takes in the kids, the enemy can now basically use the void, the trauma, the lack, and attach himself to these kids. And now they have decisions. They will make decisions. And those decisions will likely be what? Ungodly decisions. God told Jerome, sir, if you trust me, it may take a while, but it will be good for you and your family. It will be better. Once Jerome made a decision to not trust God and reject God by not trusting him, you know, when we don't trust God, we reject him. Amen. He invited evil, he invited evil in his entire family is now affected. So when God says, Jerome, if you trust me, sir, I got you. If you don't trust me, your kids will be punished. It sounds like God is doing the punishing. But who is really the cause to that effect? The Father. So when we read in God's word something and we say, God is just cruel, he is evil, we have to get context. Everybody say context. There is hope for these two boys and girl, because the passage said, let me go back to it, sweets. It says in Deuteronomy 5, even though Jerome made a bad decision, even though God says, listen, don't do this, don't reject me, because I will punish your kids. In verse number nine, it says, listen, I'm going to punish your grandchildren, your children, and your great-great-grandchildren. Everybody say, but. This is how we're going to end today. Thank God for the but. Clap your hands for God's but. He said, but those same kids, when they choose me, everybody say, don't say if, say when. When they choose to serve me, I will be very kind and merciful to thousands who love me and obey my commands. Amen. That's why the Bible says pure and undefiled religion is when you take care of orphans and when you take care of widows. Because when you take care of orphans, you can help change the trajectory of their lives. Amen. When you teach the unfathered, the uncovered, you are helping, listen, you're helping those kids receive God's blessings and his mercy. Amen. My sin can't affect your soul. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins is the one who would die. That's happy. I'm happy about that. Amen. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. Amen. So in other words, my sin cannot affect your soul. There may be some consequences. So if I'm a father and I make a bad decision and my kids are affected, then ultimately, even if they die in a terrible situation, even if those two boys and girl die poor, never in a stable situation, if those two boys and one girl die in Christ, their soul is not condemned. The soul who sins is the one who would die. The soul would not share the guilt of the father, nor would the father share the guilt of the son. Yes, there's consequences, but consequences doesn't necessarily have to mean condemnation. Amen. There's going to be consequences for rejecting God, and it will affect a lot of people, but it doesn't have to mean condemnation. Amen. Righteous always cancels out wickedness. Righteous always cancels out wickedness. Righteous always cancels out wickedness. Your kid is showing out. Introduce him to the things of God. He's 25 showing out. Introduce him to the things of God. He is 5 showing out. Introduce him to the things of God. Remember, I started with while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed weeds. If you ever did yard work, you know it's hard to get some weeds out. Amen. They're stubborn. So our prayer today, our prayer this morning is, our prayer is the spirit of righteous sweep over the earth. If you want to pray with me, want to pray in the spirit. Our prayer is the spirit of righteous sweep over the earth, preferably from fathers first. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created first Adam. When a man is righteous, there's definitely alignment in the house, organization, situation, family, business. Our prayer is righteous and repentant sweep across this current generation so that the blessings and mercy of God will be triggered. Because when there's righteous in a situation, God said, I will show my mercy and grace to those that choose to obey me, that choose to be righteous. So when we, listen, when we introduce the things of God to the next generation, that is basically unleashing God's grace and mercy and blessings on the next generation. Amen. So fathers, this is our last charge today. Let's wake up so they can win. The next generation, so our family can win. Amen. So how do we wake up? How can we fix this? How can we make it right? As everybody's standing, how can we make it right? How can we fix it? How can we wake up? Because many of us have been asleep, but it's okay. God has sent me here today to tell somebody just to wake up a little bit and transfer a righteous seed. When you go into her, transfer, make sure it's a righteous seed. You are a righteous man, righteous seed. Amen. Righteous man, righteous seed. Display righteous living in front of everybody, in front of your kids. Display righteous living. Don't let them see you up here teaching and preaching and then see you at the Clemson game cussing and turning up sloppy drunk. Amen. Stand up for God in front of your family. Say, hey, sir, DaQuisha, that's not right. What you see on TV, that's not right, and this is why it's not right. You're going to see more of that, DaQuisha, but I want to let you know that that is not the spirit of God. My daddy is brave. My daddy is alert. He is acting like men. He is acting like a man. Make sense? Stand up for God in front of the family. Reject evil in front of our kids. Live peacefully with all men. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, Uncle Jerry, but you have such a optimistic, peaceful spirit. Like you're gonna see the glass half full. Amen. And that's contagious. It's attractive. People want to be around you. And I'm sure that's positively affecting your seed. My dad is optimistic. He is a God-fearing man. Live peacefully with all men. Your entire family see it. Amen. I know they do. Now you roll your sleeves up. But that peaceful vibe that you have, amen, especially trying to get along with everybody is, I'm not trying to embarrass you, is awesome. And I see it, I take notice, and want to be like that, amen. Want more of that. Simply put, don't reject God. 1 Corinthians, we started with the scripture, we're in with it. Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Ladies, this was for you too. We love you so much. But y'all get a lobster cheeseburger. on Mother's Day. So I at least want to give the men the word of God on a lobster roll this morning. Amen. But we thank God for you this morning. And we thank God for this word. We thank God that you are revealing to us that we need you. We want to be righteous. We want to be upright. Amen. Forgive us when we made a bad decision, God. Us men, when we have not displayed, when we have not lived peacefully, when we have not rejected evil in front of our kids, in front of our family. We thank you, Lord, for being the way. And if you're not saved and you're in this room and you want Jesus in your heart, if you're online and you want Jesus in your heart, because you're saying, sir, righteous living equals blessings and it equals mercy and grace from the one who created me. That's what I want living on the inside of me. And that's Christ our Lord. And all you have to do is pray this prayer. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody say, Lord, I hear you today. I feel that you are speaking to me about my lifestyle, about my choices, about my decisions. And God, because you're speaking to me, I am going to listen. And God, I want to respond to you by accepting you in my heart. God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. God, I am not perfect. You already know that. But I confess with my mouth, Jesus, and I believe in my heart. God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I really believe this right now. But God, there's one thing. I need your help. I don't want to be led by you on just Monday. I want to be led by you on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In other words, Lord, I need you in my life every single hour. And I'm accepting you, Jesus, and I am trusting that you're going to walk with me. God, I'm going to do my part, and I am going to obey and trust you. And I thank you, Lord, for covering my family, covering my situation, covering my mind, covering my sickness. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Y'all clap your hands for what God said today.